He does. He does. He does. I want you to, if you're, this is one of your first times with us and you have a visitor card, and we sure would wish you would fill it out for us, and you can redeem it for a CD, an audio tape, $100, a cup of coffee. You know, just fill out the card for us, please. We're not going to badger you, but we sure would love to stay in touch with you. Just send you a card every once in a while, or an email, or just whatever you let us do. But we just don't want to lose touch with you. So if you would do that for us, we sure would appreciate it. If this is one of your first times to LifeGate, we are so thrilled you're here. It's an honor to have you today. We're just so grateful that of all the things you could have done this Sunday morning, you opted to come and to be with us. It's an honor to get to spend this moment with you and this time with you. Hope you've enjoyed yourself. Hope you've already experienced the presence of the Lord, and hopefully He's already touched you. And if you're not in a big hurry after the service is over, I sure wish you'd hang out with me just a little while. Let me hug your neck, shake your hand, and just get to know you a little bit. If you're looking for a church home, this is a good one. I'm telling you, it's one of the best ones I'm aware of. And I just invite you to come and be with us again and again and again, and let it become your church home. Let you help us do what this banner says, reaching people and making them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We really want to reach our region with the gospel, the kingdom of God, and minister to people. Amen. So thank you for coming and being with us today. We're in a series that is called Expecting the Miraculous. We believe God expects us to expect the miraculous and move in the miraculous. You are not created to be natural. You are created to be supernatural. The people of God, the children of God, are supernatural people. We should be doing what Jesus did. He says, not only will you do what I've done, but you'll do even greater things than I did. Now, that's what the Bible says. And we're supposed to be doing supernatural things and moving in the supernatural. Today's title is A Miracle in Your Sickness. It'll make more sense to you in just a second. It's simply saying that no matter what sickness you have, there's a miracle in it. And God's going to do it. Now, if you've got your Bibles, and I really hope you do, I want you to turn, just open it up, and I'll be there shortly. I'm going to be preaching the whole Bible today. That's about what it is. But actually, the Gospels is where we're going to spend most of our time. And if you'll look with me basically at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, that will be the place I start. I'm going to be using so many scriptures today, it's going to be very difficult to stay with me because you'd have to be flipping so much and you'll miss in turning some of the things that I really want you to hear. But anyway, that'll get us started. And while you're turning and getting set there, I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you for this wonderful day, this moment, this time where we're able to come into your presence and worship with people with like precious faith. Believers. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for us today. Lord, I ask you to anoint me that I won't talk too fast and I won't talk too slow. I'll be interesting to listen to, but I'll be anointed, and the things that I say, Lord, will be a seed going into hearts, and it'll produce fruit that remains 160 and 30-fold in our lives. Father, I pray you'll anoint our ears that we can hear what the Spirit says. Lord, you'll change our life today, that we'll go out of here encouraged and edified. And Father, today I pray that we'll go out of here healed and whole. And I ask you to bless us and ask you to be with us in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, would you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, how many believe that God desires that we be healed in our physical body as much as He desires that we be healed in our spirit? Let me say it again. Do you believe that God wants your body healed as badly as He wants your spirit healed? Do you? If you believe that, would you raise your hand? That's most of us. You see, I have found that most believers don't. Most believers think that their body is it's like the third part. It's a third class. It's not as good, it's not as important as is our spirit. That's just not true. God wants you whole, spirit, soul, body. God loves you. He loves all of you, every part of you. He doesn't love your spirit more than He loves your body. You see, if your body is sick, you'll never fulfill the destiny that He's got for you to do. If your body is sick, you're not going to be able to do the things that God has for you to do in the kingdom of God. You won't even feel like coming to church. Am I right? He doesn't want your body sick. He wants your body as whole as He wants your spirit. Jesus taught this. Jesus let people know that the healing of their body was just as important as the healing of their spirit. And He went about everywhere telling people this and then doing it. You see, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, and I hope that you're there, it says this: "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Now, what I want you to see here is that He communicated the gospel of the kingdom in three ways. What are those three ways? Preaching, teaching, and healing. Which one are the most important? You've got to see this. The healing of your body is as important as the preaching of the kingdom. The healing of your body is as important as the teaching of the kingdom. What we have got to come to is an understanding how important healing is. And we've got to begin to move in it. If we're really going to reach our region with the gospel of the kingdom of God, if we're really going to see people coming into the kingdom of God, we've got to show them, not only teach them and preach them, but we've got to heal them. Jesus wants your body healed. It is very important to Him. Let me show you this verse from the NIV version. Matthew 4:23 from the New International Version says this: "Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people." The kingdom of God is good news. And a part of that good news is the healing of our bodies. As much a part of the good news is preaching, and a much a part of the good news is teaching, so is a part of the good news the healing of your body of every manner of sickness and disease. Every one of them. Jesus wants you healed. You'll not be able to fulfill what He has for you to do in life if your body doesn't feel like it. Your body, the Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what He thinks about your body. He thinks your body is really special. He's decided to put His Holy Spirit in your body. And He wants you to be healthy. Your body is not the third part. Your body is not like body, soul, spirit, or spirit, soul, body. It's not like in a vertical order. It's in a horizontal. They're all important. He wants you whole physically. He wants you whole mentally. And He wants you whole physically, spiritually. If you're a citizen of the kingdom, how many are you going to vote Tuesday? Good. Is it a privilege, an honor? Is it a right that you have, a duty even? How many of you are getting to vote because you're a citizen of the United States of America? Well, if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, you have the right to be healed. It is your right. Hallelujah. And we need to change it. It's not just something I get, it's something I have a right to. If you're a citizen of the kingdom, you can experience the healing. Or if you know somebody that is. If you know somebody that is a citizen of the kingdom of God, get them to pray for you and get your healing. So allow me to ask you this question. How many of you know, now hear how I'm asking it, how many of you know, not think, but know, that at some point in your life, God has healed you physically? Would you raise your hands? Would you stand to your feet? Just for a second. Just gonna have you. You know. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. God still heals today. Hallelujah. Amen. Be seated. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that one, right? He's still doing it, folk. It's not a time when miracles aren't happening. Casey just told you about one that happened last Sunday for him. See, there are miracles that happen all the time. And if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, you need to expect the supernatural. I want you to know today that if you have a sickness, that sickness has a miracle in it. There's a miracle awaiting you. I want you to know today that God wants to move on you and that you need to expect the miraculous. You need to expect God to do something for you. And I don't care what kind of a disease you have. I don't care what kind of a sickness you have. My God heals all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And He wants you healed. He wants you physically healed as desperately as He wants the kingdom, me to preach the kingdom and teach the kingdom. He wants your body healed. He wants me to tell you that He wants to heal you. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. Did you know that there are no less than 15 detailed stories in the Bible about Jesus specifically healing people? These are detailed stories. Now, that's not inclusive of the thousands of people that He healed. He would have long healing lines. He would preach and teach the kingdom, and then He would minister for hours to people healing them. But there's 15 specific stories that are also given to us. Now, what I want to do is I first of all want to show you that there were thousands and thousands of people that Jesus healed. I want you to see that a part of what He did in preaching and teaching was also healing. I want you to see that. But also, I want to take time and look at some of those 15, because I think there are some keys to our healing in those stories. So anyway, first let me show you that Jesus healed thousands of people. Let me show you some scriptures. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, "News about Him spread all over Syria, and people brought to Him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and He healed them." Now, at another time, at another place, another day, Matthew 15:30 says, "Great crowds came to Him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at His feet, and He healed them." He would have these healing lines. And then, at another place, at another time, at another day, in Matthew 19:2, it says, "Large crowds followed Him, and He healed them there." And then at another place, at another time, at another series of ministries, in Matthew 21:14, it says, "The blind and the lame came to Him at the temple, and He healed them." And then at another place, at another time, at another ministry point, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, it says, "When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying His hands on each one, He healed them." See, Jesus prayed and healed for thousands and thousands of people. Listen, there was a miracle in every sickness. There was a miracle in every blind eye. There was a miracle in every pain. There was a miracle in every lame situation. There was a miracle in every disease. There was a miracle in every sickness. In your sickness, there's a miracle. And Jesus wants to heal it. Though there are these thousands of people, I found myself asking a question. Why these 15 stories? Why these 15 detailed instances where He healed these people? Why did the Holy Spirit lead the writers of the Gospels? Why did the Holy Spirit lead specific writers in the Bible to select out of it these 15 stories? Out of all the thousands, why these 15 or so? I came to a conclusion. And I want to share this conclusion with you. You see, I have prayed in my many years of ministry for I don't know how many people. I couldn't tell you how many I have prayed for physical healing. And what's been very interesting about this is that there's been times when it's been like, well, it's like Casey, when God just immediately moved and a miracle took place. I mean, it was just like before you stopped praying, the miracle took place. Then there were other times when I would pray And maybe it would take a day or two or three, or maybe a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months, but a miracle would take place. But then there are times when I prayed for people, and they never got their miracle. I used the same formula. I said the same words. I even used the same anointing oil. I used the same hands. I did it the same way. I tried to stand the same. I tried to do it exactly the way it worked before. But they never got their miracle. You see, the reason that these 15 or so detailed healings are recorded is to help show us how to help difficult sicknesses become a miracle. So as I looked through this, as I looked at it and saw these 15 stories, the Lord began to show me two specific points that I want to share with you. One point to share with you today, one of the points. And then what I want to do is share with you another point that I saw week after next. Now, the reason that we're skipping a week is because this coming next week, I'm going to be out of town at a conference. And so I won't be as prepared as I would like to be to share Sunday. And so my wife, Judy, is going to be sharing next Sunday. Is that okay with you? All right. And don't let her back out. Don't let her back out. I'll be here, but she'll be doing the Sunday thing. Okay? And then the next week, I want to share the second point that I feel like the Lord has showed me, that I think has keys in them. These points have keys in them to unlock the more difficult healings. And we're going to look at these 15 stories of the miracle and healing and physical healing that Jesus did. So, here's the first point. Here's today's point. No two healing stories are identical. Now, I know that it doesn't sound like a great revelation. That doesn't sound like, you know, a very great point. But let me work on it, and I think it will become something very, very important to you. See, Jesus healed people in a lot of different ways. And all 15 of these stories are all different. None of them are the same. Even if one gospel tells a story and one of the other gospels tells the same story, they still see it somewhat different. There are different ways that God heals people. There are different ways that He will heal you. See, sometimes Jesus would simply speak and release a word of healing. Once a nobleman came to Jesus, and he found Jesus, and he said, "My son, my little boy, is sick at home in the bed, and he might die. Will you come to my house and heal my boy?" Jesus didn't go to his house. Jesus just simply spoke a word, and he says, "Your son will live." Now, the nobleman went home, I would imagine, a little upset because Jesus wouldn't come to his house. But you see, the boy's healing, the boy's miracle, was not in Jesus going to the nobleman's house. The boy's healing was in the releasing of the word of healing. What happened is the nobleman went home, and on the way home, his servants came running out to him, all excited, and telling him that his son had gotten better, that his son was healed, was being healed. And so the nobleman says, "What time did this happen?" And he says, he told him the time. Let me show you the scripture in John 4:53. It says, "Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.'" See, you need to speak to people and tell them. You need to speak the word to yourself and tell yourself to be healed. You need to release the word of healing in your life. Your son will live. So he and all his household believed. I want you to see something. I want you to see that miracles of healing should cause people to believe. If we're really going to reach this region with the gospel of the kingdom, if we're really going to reach this region with the good news of Jesus Christ, then they need to see that also in preaching and teaching is also healing. You see, healing helps people believe. There are people that you know that when they see God heal you, they will believe. If you want your lost ones saved, when God touches you, you make sure they know it. And they'll believe. This is what happened to this guy. And you see, his miracle was in the releasing of the word. The spoken word released, healed his son. Now, I've had people call me on the telephone and say, Albert, will you pray for my child, my spouse, my cousin, my nephew, my worker at work or something? What they were really saying is, will you release a word of healing? Will you just release the word of healing? And of course you do. And so when people call you, then you can do that as well. But I want to say two things here. First of all, I want you to know that in a little while, we're going to have you come down, if you've got a difficult sickness especially, to come down and be prayed for. And we want to release the word of healing. In fact, I want to release it right now. You might not have to come down here if you'll just receive the released word of healing. See, there's a releasing of the word of healing. And don't get mad because it doesn't pray for you. You just got healed. Your healing is in the releasing of the word of healing. And when another thing is that when you have somebody maybe you're confident in, maybe you know someone that you feel like really has a gift of healing and a real desire to heal you, call them on the telephone and say, speak a word of healing over me. Yeah. Your miracle might not be in coming down and getting oil put on you. Your miracle may well easily have just happened. You just receive the word of healing. So, there's a miracle in releasing the spoken word of healing. Sometimes Jesus would speak to and rebuke a sickness. Jesus one day was at Peter's house. And Peter's mother-in-law was always serving and waiting on him. But this particular day, Peter's mother-in-law was very ill. And she had a very high fever. And she was laying in a bed. And so Jesus was there. And here's what the Bible says in Luke 4:39. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. See, speak to and rebuke your sickness. You can do that. The word rebuke here in the Greek is interesting. What it means is to harshly admonish and to forbid. Speak to whatever is ailing you and forbid it to have a place in you. You command it to leave you. You command it. You forbid it. In the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot be in my body. My body is the temple of God. My body is precious and you got to get out of my body. Forbid it to have a place in you. Now listen, when we're going to come down here in a little while, I'm going to be praying for people. Elders are going to be praying for people. We'll have spit and mud down here. We're going to have everything down here that we can possibly have. We're going to try to get you healed in just a little while. And you people that are going to be praying for others, I want you to speak to these things. I want you to rebuke these things. I want you to speak to bodies. And I want you to speak to sicknesses. You get these people healed. See, there is a miracle in rebuking your sickness. Sometimes Jesus would touch people and speak to the person's body. A leper came to Jesus one day. And the leper said to Jesus, you can heal me if you want to, if you will. Now, what do you think Jesus said? No, I'm not going to touch you. Is that what he said? No. Just a leper. Very contamination situation. You know, but Jesus didn't do that. Here's what Mark 1:41 says. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Listen, touch your body. You got a heart problem? Touch your chest. Tell it to be healed. Tell it to be clean. You got cancer? Touch it. Tell it. Rebuke it. Tell it to be clean. Tell your body to be healed. Speak it. You see, He wants you healed. These are keys to your healing. These are keys to your miracle. Jesus wants you healed. Allow godly people to touch you. Allow godly people to speak to you. Be healed. Allow godly people to speak to you. Be clean. And receive it. See, that's all this leper needed. He didn't need anointing oil. He just needed Jesus to touch him and say, be clean. Be healed. And he was. Receive it right now. I'm speaking to you. Be clean. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Just reach out and grab that right now. That's what your healing may be. Because there's a miracle in touching and speaking to your body. Sometimes Jesus would forgive sin and heal. There's this wonderful story in the Bible about these friends who had a friend who was paralyzed. And Jesus was in the region and he was having a miracle service, you know, and so these friends got their paralyzed buddy and put him on a cot and carried him to where Jesus was. And when they got there, of course, it was one of these situations where the healing line was long and Jesus was had all these people he was teaching and preaching and healing. You know, he was doing what he did. And they couldn't get their buddy, they couldn't get their friend to Jesus to be healed. Anyway, I have an image of how all this took place. You know, I see one of them maybe running up there and looking in the door to find out where Jesus is. Where is he? Oh, there he is right back. Okay, got it, man. And so they go back and they get their buddy and they go around behind the house. And they climb up on top of the house and lift the guy up on top of the house, their paralyzed friend. And then they rip up, they measure off, you know, they step it off. Well, he's about right here. And so they rip a hole in the ceiling, in the roof of the house, and they lower this guy down there in front of Jesus. That's pretty impressive, right? That's pretty cool. They lower the guy down there in front of Jesus, and Jesus says, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, I like that. I like your faith, guy. It's cool. And here's what Jesus said. Now, you have to realize that these religious people, these Pharisees, were in there. And he was always doing some things, you know, that would upset those people. But anyway, he says, just to show you something. I'm going to show you something. He says, to show you that I, the Son of Man, have power over sin. Now, I'm going to make this very clear to you. Because I, the Son of Man, have power over sin. I'm going to say to this guy, I forgive your sin. Then I'm going to say, take up your bed and walk. And he's going to be here. Watch this, he says. And here's what the Bible says in Luke 5:24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home, praise the God. I want some of you to do that today. I want some of you to go home today praising God. Now, here is what I want you to say. Because you say, so you'll know that I, the Son of Man, have power on earth over sin. I'm going to try to say something. Now, it's going to bounce around a little while. But I can prove it. Jesus is more concerned about your body being healed than he is about your sin. To show you that I, the Son of Man, have power over sin, watch this. I forgive your sin, now take up your bed and walk. He forgot about this guy's sin so he could heal his body. You see, Jesus is far more concerned about you being healed in your body than he is about your sin. Now, Jesus, here, please hear me. This has the potential of getting out of here and really, you know, doing one of those things. But the only sin that he won't deal with for you is if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Am I on track here? Come on. He can forgive anything to get you healed. See, so many people hang up here. So many people think that because they've got sin in their life, that God won't heal them. If you were one of those a while ago that stood up and said, by your standing up, that God had healed you, would you slip your hand back up for me just one more time? Good. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you, now put your hands down, how many of you, I want you to raise your hands back up if this is you. How many of you, when God healed you, you were perfectly sinless? Was there still some things going on in your life? Huh? Yeah. See? Yeah. God's healed me, but I surely wasn't perfectly sinless. See, we let that religious thing block our healing. That religious teaching that he couldn't heal these people, you know, he couldn't forgive their sin, would block their healing. There is a story, and I'm going to talk about this one next time. It's in John chapter 5, and it's about the guy at the Pool of Bethesda. There was this guy, he was laying there at the Pool of Bethesda, and Jesus walks up to this guy, and it's a very interesting situation. He asks this guy a very, very interesting question. He says, do you want to be healed? Now, the guy's been laying here 38 years, you know, and he walks up to the guy, do you want to be healed? You would think. But you know what? The guy didn't say, yeah, I want to be healed. You know what he starts doing? He starts talking about people. He starts saying, well, this guy beat me in last time. You know, nobody helps me get in. Jesus said, I don't care about... Take up your mat and walk. The guy got up and left. Later, the Bible says that Jesus found this guy in the temple. Now, you got to hear this. He walks up to this guy that he has healed already and says, I see you're healed. He says, now stop sinning lest something worse come on you. Now, which did he do first? Did he heal him first and then deal with his sin? Or did the guy have to get all this sin out of his life before he could be healed? Listen, he cares more about your body being whole and healed so that you can function and live your life to an abundant place than he cares about your sin. Now, he will deal with your sin. Now, I'm not trying to get sidetracked here. Our emphasis today is healing, but I have got to show you that God cares more about your body than he wants to deal with your body. He wants your body whole. So I'm not going to try to get misdirected here, but I want to show you that you have authority to forgive sin. Jesus is just before ascension, and he's talking to his disciples and the apostles now in a place. And here's what John 20 verse 22 says. And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Next verse. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. If you have received the Holy Spirit, you can forgive sin. If you have received the Holy Spirit, you can forgive sin. James, in his writings, show us also that a lot of times God will deal with healing and then he'll deal with sin. James, in the King James Version, says it this way in James 5:14. James says it this way in the King James Version, are there any sick among you? And then he starts telling what to do about that sickness. Here's what it says in the NIV Version in James 5:14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Now, which came first? The healing or the forgiving of sins? Jesus wants your body whole and healed. He'll deal with your sin. But he wants you healed now. See, Delbert, are you saying I got sin in my life, baby, and that's why I'm stopping my healing? I don't care if you're full of sin. I forgive it. Yeah. Now, don't get upset because I said I forgive your sin. Just, I'm trying to get you healed. Just receive that and get healed. And then let the Lord work with you with what's your problem. You see, this is what I want us to see. Find an elder. Elders, there's oil. Get them to dump it on you. Pray for you. Get you healed. And then God will take care of all the other stuff. But he wants your body healed. Don't allow a religious thought that you got to be all perfect before God will heal you stop you from your miracle. Don't allow a thing that, well, I got to get this straightened out. If I ever get this straightened out in my life, God will heal me. No, no, no. Let God heal you. And then work on the other. Amen? Because there is a miracle in forgiveness of sin. Lots of times, Jesus would heal people on the Sabbath day. He would really irritate religious people. And this caused him a lot of grief. But have you ever wondered why he made such an issue of healing people on the Sabbath day? You see, the law said that he couldn't heal people on the Sabbath day because that was work. And then you were causing others to work because once you healed them, you were working, but then they have to pick up their mat and carry it, so they're working. So everybody has to work, and that's against the law. I was reading one of these stories, and it was like Jesus was at the synagogue preaching. And a synagogue is like a church, you know. A speaker speaks, and I kind of see it in a modern way. You know, I see out on the marquee all week long, Jesus of Nazareth here on the Sabbath. come and hear about the new kingdom. You know, I see that out there. And these Pharisees, knowing that this is what's going to happen, that Jesus is going to be there and he is going to heal somebody. And we're going to get him this time. We're going to be there watching him do it. And so they plant this guy in there with a crippled hand. And sure enough, they know he's going to heal him. Now, this irritates Jesus to know that they don't want this person healed. Let me read you the verse in Mark 3:5. It says, "He looked around at them," at the Pharisees, "in anger and deeply distressed." How did Jesus feel about this kind of thing? Did it tick him off a little bit? He looked at them in anger and deep distress at their stubborn hearts, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. See, the religious teaching that said that you couldn't minister to people and heal people on the Sabbath day attempted to block this guy's miracle. So many believers allow religious teachings to block their miracles. Have you ever heard something like this, that healing's not for today? I just showed you that it was. I had all these people stand up. Have you heard something like, well, if it's his will, he'll heal me? I've showed you, it's his will. You've heard some religious thing. Well, let me tell you, there's a miracle in getting angry at that false teaching. Breaking away from that false teaching. That false teaching is blocking your miracle. You got to hold on to what Jesus said. And it's time that the church rises up and gets angry at false teaching, because false teaching rob us of our miracles. Jesus says the doctrine of men make the word of God of none effect. It takes away the power and the authority of the word of God by the doctrines of people. Listen, break away from that stuff. Break away from any of that false teaching. God wants your body healed. Your healing of your body is as important as the teaching or the preaching of the kingdom of God. You can't do what God's called you to do unless your body is whole and healed. You don't even feel like coming to church. Steve was talking about praising God. You don't feel like praising God when you're sick. He wants you healed. He wants you going out as light and salt. He wants to affect people and bring people into the kingdom of God because he's healed you. There is a miracle in getting angry at and breaking away from false teachings. Once Jesus made mud with spit and dirt, and he rubbed it on this guy's eyelids. And then he told this guy, he says, "Now go to this specific place and wash it." Now here's what the verse says in John 9:7. It says, "So he told him, 'Wash in the pool of Siloam.'" This word means sent. "So the man went and washed and came home seeing." Has the Lord sent you somewhere? Has the Lord told you to go someplace specific in life? Is there something that you should be doing? Have you been sent someplace? You see, if this guy had never gone to Siloam, even though Jesus had touched him and made mud with spit and dirt and put it on his eyes, he still would have never seen. Has God told you to do something? Has God instructed you to go somewhere or do something that will release your miracle? Because there's a miracle in doing whatever he says do. Do you believe that? There's a miracle in doing it. Jesus used people to heal people. He sent people out just like you and just like me to heal people. He sent them out to preach and to teach and to heal. Not that I wanted to make sure we see that these aren't the superstars, you know. These weren't the Benny Hinn's and the Catherine Kuhlman's. And these are people just like us. He sent them out. And the Bible talks about it in Luke 10. It says, "The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them on ahead in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit." And then he gives several verses of instructions. "I want you to go, and here's how I want you to do, and here's what I want you to say." And then he comes to verse 9 and he says, "And heal the sick." In other words, preach and teach
and heal.
As you heal them, say, the kingdom of God is near you now. See, there's this link between teaching and preaching the kingdom and healing people. Jesus says, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then you know that what? The kingdom of God has come to you. See, there is a kingdom, and it brings people into the kingdom when they really realize that there's healing for their bodies. Now, Mark chapter 6 talks about the disciples. These are the apostles, but he still sent them out. There are these people as well, and the preachers, you know, we that are responsible here. And in Mark 6:12 it says, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. You see, along with the preaching and the teaching, we need to be anointing people with oil and healing them. The way the gospel of the kingdom of God is honestly communicated is through teaching and preaching and healing. We need to realize that there are miracles. And there is a miracle in people. And there is a miracle in anointing oil. We're going to have that down here in just a little while. We're going to have people down here. Just us. They're going to have oil. And they're going to speak to your body. They're going to speak to your sickness. And we're going to try our best to get you healing. The Lord will use people to heal you that you don't like. Or that maybe you even hate or despise. Their doctrine may be different than yours. You may think they're of a cult. Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, hated Christians. His life mission was to destroy, kill, and imprison as many Christians as he possibly could. That he had given his life for this. And he was very good at it. The Bible says he breathed out threatenings and slaughter. Now, on his mission to kill these Christians and to imprison these Christians, on his mission to do this, he went blind. He lost his vision. He lost his eyesight. But Jesus had given him a vision, and it says that this guy that you hate, this guy that you despise, this guy that you loathe, this Christian, is going to come to you, and he's going to pray for you, and you'll get your healing back. Now let me show you what the verse says in Acts 9:17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered in. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to talk to you just a second, then we'll finish that verse out. But what if Paul had said, no, you're not putting your hands on me. No. I don't believe what you say. I don't go along with what you teach. I don't believe your doctrine. Would Paul still be blind? But because he allowed this person who he didn't believe and didn't agree with to pray with him because the Lord had spoke to him, let this person pray for you, he got his healing. The verse finishing that up says in Acts 9:18, it says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. And he could see again. He got up and was baptized. See, there was a miracle in allowing someone to pray for him that he didn't like. That he hated. That actually he thought was a member of a cult. But his healing was there. Is there somebody in your life that maybe you don't like? Is there somebody in your life that's caused you some grief? Please, please, please never allow that to stop your miracle. Never allow that thing to get inside of you where you will not go and allow them to pray for you. Because your miracle might be in the hands of somebody that you don't like a lot. There's a miracle in getting people to pray for you that you don't like. The Lord healed people in all kinds of ways. He used all sorts of things and he used all sorts of people. Now my point in all of this that I've said to you is that God will use anything and God will use anyone to heal you. God will use anything and God will use anyone to get you healed. Listen, he'll find a day that'll work for you. He'll find the right person to pray for you. He wants you healed, and he knows that there is a miracle in your sickness. God wants you healed. Jesus is looking for a way to heal you. All of these 15 stories happen different ways because they all needed a different way to heal the person that needed the healing. What way do you need the healing? God is trying to find a way to heal you. He's trying to find a day to heal you. He's trying to find something that will heal you. He's going to use a preacher. He'll use a doctor. He'll use spit and dirt. He'll use a friend. Or he may even use someone that you don't like. But he wants you healed. Your body is very important to him. You see, there is a miracle in your sickness. Jesus healed thousands during his ministry. Thousands. But yet there were some special healings. There were some difficult healings. But he found a way to get them healed as well. There's a healing in the spoken word. There's a miracle in rebuking the sickness. There's a miracle in touching and speaking to your body. There's a miracle in the forgiveness of sins. There's a miracle in getting angry at and breaking away from false teaching. There's a miracle in doing whatever he tells you to do. There's a miracle in anointing oil. There's a miracle in people just like you and me. There's a miracle in letting people pray for you that you really don't like. You see, God will use anything and anyone to get you healed. It's that important to him. So now we're going to pray for people. I want you to come down here expecting the miraculous. I want you coming down here expecting God to do it for you. Now there's going to be elders down here praying. Their wives will be down here. There'll be others down here praying. There'll be anointing oil down here. There'll be spit and mud down here. Kidding. I'm just kidding there. My point is, we're going to do everything we possibly can to get you healed. Those of you who are praying and are going to be praying, I want you to speak to the sicknesses. I want you to rebuke it. I want you to speak to their bodies and tell them to be healed. I want you to release the word of healing upon them. I want you to do everything that we've talked about here. Listen, which one works for you? Hey, you know what I would do? I'd do all of them. I wouldn't leave a one out. I would try every single one. And I would find a way that God wanted to heal me. He wants you healed. He wants your body whole. It's as important to him as is your spirit or is your soul. He wants you to be able to function, and he wants you to be able to do what he's called you to do. How many are going to either come down and receive a miracle or give a miracle? Would you raise your hand? Would you give the Lord a hand clap and a shout? Amen. 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 Now listen, I want you healed. But the greatest miracle that can possibly happen in your life is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It sort of sets everything else into motion. It's the step into the kingdom of God where he will really minister to you and to your family, that you can begin the abundant life that he has for you. So what we try to do here every Sunday as we come together and I get to minister, I ask everybody in here to pray the sinner's prayer with me. And if you've gotten away from God or you would like to come to Jesus for the very first time in your life, just pray with us. You can tell us if you like, but that's not important. You see, what's really important is your relationship with him. That being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son and developing a true relationship with Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to begin to read his word and allow his word and his spirit to direct your life. See, that's what's really important. It's not important that you tell me. Oh, you need to confess. You need to tell someone. But you can work that out yourself. I just want you to pray with me. If you've never received him, I want you to do it right now. Or if you've gotten away from him and want to come back, I want you to pray that with me. So everybody, I just ask you to say it just as loud as you will. Just as loud as you're proud of him. Say it that loud. Amen. Let's say it together. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I ask you to touch me. I ask you to heal me. I ask you to save me, and I ask you to use me. Take me now, in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Now, if you're serious, then your life just changed. Now what we want to do is pray for people. You got a sickness? Something going on in your life? Please, please, please don't leave this place today without being touched. Let people pray for you. I want you to come down now and let us all